Welcome to today's edition of the My Ag Life Daily News Report. I'm your host, Lori Boyer. In addition to feature reports, I'll bring you a look at regional and national agricultural news. And the show starts right after this.
Smart growers know sustainability means managing pests at the same time they manage other priorities in their fields, which is why smart growers know Certis Biologicals. For more than 20 years, Certis Biologicals has been the world's leader when it comes to biological pesticides, delivering proven solutions that keep operations sustainable and growing. Learn more at CertisBio.com.
Get ready for the 2023 Crop Consultant Conference in Visalia, California on September 27th and 28th, hosted by Progressive Crop Consultant Magazine and Western Region Certified Crop Advisors. This two-day event will feature a combined 44 hours of live and online continuing education units for attendees in the heart of California, a trade show, first-class dining, entertainment, and a mixer. Come join CCAs, PCAs, growers, and industry professionals at the Visalia Convention Center to hear from researchers and colleagues on the latest in agriculture. Registration is now open at progressivecrop.com/conference.
California Governor Gavin Newsom has signed an executive order to expedite critical work like levee repairs and debris removal to help protect and prepare local communities in anticipation of another possible wet season. This past March, the Pajaro and Salinas rivers saw record rainfall, leading to historic flooding and levee failure in the region. The flooding affected nearly 5% of farms in the area, with millions in crop, property, and equipment damage. The California Strawberry Commission's public policy team quickly went to work, highlighting the issue with the state lawmakers and working with former California Agriculture Committee Chair and current Assembly Speaker Robert Rivas to convene a special meeting of the Ag Committee to discuss the March floods and the levee breaches. At that meeting, California Strawberry Grower Commission Executive Committee member Peter Navarro provided testimony and gave a first-hand account of the levee breach along the Pajaro River and caused millions in damage to the strawberry industry. He says he is thankful for the work of the California Strawberry Commission to highlight the effects of the flooding and work with lawmakers to secure much-needed relief funding and now executive action to make the necessary repairs in preparation for upcoming wet seasons. Navarro went on to say that the flooding earlier this year was devastating to many California strawberry growers, as well as their local communities, which are resilient but still recovering. The executive order allows affected communities to accelerate work to restore levee function and river channel capacity degraded by last winter storms and floods. It streamlines public agencies' emergency levee repair and debris removal work and suspends certain laws, regulations, and criteria in existing orders conditioned on agencies complying with specific environmental and resource protection requirements for emergency levee repair and debris removal projects. In addition to working with lawmakers to highlight issues caused by the flooding, the commission was one of the first on the ground during the floods to get information and resources out to growers and the local community. Working with media and lawmakers, the commission highlighted the devastation across the areas and pushed for emergency funding to assist in recovery efforts. Shortly after, Governor Newsom requested a presidential major disaster declaration from the Biden administration that allowed resources from the Federal Emergency Management Agency and other government agencies to assist with the recovery. While recovery is ongoing, the California strawberry crop supply remains strong. Harvest is ongoing around the state, providing fresh California strawberries year-round. Stanislaus County has reported about $3.73 billion in gross income for 2022, up 5% from the previous year. High milk prices were a key driver, according to Agricultural Commissioner Linda Pinfield. Almonds slipped from the top spot due to weak prices, and walnuts did even worse. The state-mandated report does not tally production costs such as feed for cattle or fuel for tractors, nor does it detail how the farm income ripples out to processing plants, truckers, and related businesses. Stanislaus' gross income ranks sixth among California's 58 counties and is larger than 18 entire states, according to Pinfold. California was in the third year of drought in 2022, which reduced the volume of many farm products, but this also could mean higher prices resources for farmers who can eke out crops, especially in counties like Stanislaus, where water rights are relatively strong. The war in Ukraine also played a part, according to Amy Lomanlai, inspector on Pinfold's staff who helped to compile the report. The nation is a key supplier of corn to global markets, but the Russian invasion has cut into the 2022 volume. That raised feed prices overall, affecting Stanislaus County's dairy and poultry industries. The county grows plenty of its own feed, which include alfalfa, corn, and other grains, and these farmers saw a jump in income last year. The 2022 report fell far short of the record $4.4 million in 2014, when milk and nut prices were especially high. Thanks to a longer-than-normal cherry season in California and a flash bloom in the Northwest cherries, the market could not handle the high volume of cherries available this year. Northwest Cherry Growers President B.J. Thurlby says this was the most unusual season that he has ever seen.
We pushed our promotions back to start the last week of June. And, you know, there's a part of me that was wondering, would have it made more sense to maybe go a little bit earlier? But if we did, we'd be promoting California cherries. So it's really a tough question and kind of a catch-22. We never did gain that momentum. And by the time our program started and by the time our growers got to the market, you know, there just was no space. There was nothing there but a bunch of high-priced California cherries.
Thurlby calls it the strangest year of his career.
Well, I am just kind of down to my wit's end. It's, you know, kind of three quarters of the way through the cherry season. And we've had buyer guests in every week, touring them all over the place. You know, the challenges we've had in the market and just trying to make sure that we're doing our part in keeping up the pressure to keep these retailers running out because we need it.
Northwest growers, Thurlby says, have had to scramble.
Very much so. I mean, I've never seen anything like it. It's been, for me, the most negative cherry year in my career. You know, we've had issues where if a grower didn't have a specific amount of 10 row and larger fruit in his orchard or her orchard, you know, these packers have just said there's no value in picking it because you won't even get back picking costs.
Thurlby says one bright spot this year has been the export markets in Asia that love Northwest cherries. Hundreds of growers and industry officials gathered in Biggs for the annual Rice Field Day event at the California Rice Experiment Station. This year's California Rice Industry Award winner was recognized for his commitment to improving California rice production, and that winner is Director of Research and Technology for Colusa County Farm Supply, Jim F. Cook. In addition to his accomplishments and dedicated service to rice growers, Jim was commended by many for his passion for agriculture, enthusiastic spirit, and desire to bring people together. On March 19, 2024, the National Organic Program Strengthening Organic Enforcement Rule will be in effect, and with that, new challenges are coming into view for producers, distributors, and importers. Navigating and adhering to these new requirements for organic producers and handlers will be the subject of the first announced educational session of the Organic Growers Summit presented by Western Growers. The SOE Deadline Looms, Are You Ready? Is the name of the program and is designed to help growers better understand the upcoming changes and will feature organic industry leaders providing operational and administrative details of the SOE rule. The 6th Annual Organic Grower Summit is designed to provide information vital to organic growers and producers, as well as an overview of the opportunities and challenges in the production of organic fresh food. OGS 2023 will be held November 29th and 30th at the Hyatt Regency Monterey Hotel and Spa in Monterey, California. For more information, log on to organicgrowerssummit.com. The Contra Costa County Agricultural Commissioner, in cooperation with the California Department of Food and Agriculture and the United States Department of Agriculture, has initiated an extensive survey and eradication plan in response to the detection of 7 male oriental fruit flies near the cities of Brentwood and Oakley in Contra Costa County. The initial detection was confirmed on August 25th. The detections were made as part of the department's coordinated pest prevention system that protects the county's agriculture and natural resources from invasive species, with early detection as a key component to successfully eradicating an infestation before it can become established. The extensive survey, also known as a delimitation survey, consists of multiple oriental fruit fly traps at prescribed densities placed in concentric circles going out about 4.5 miles in each direction from the oriental fruit fly detection sites. 7 oriental fruit flies will trigger a quarantine, which will be announced shortly by the California Department of Food and Agriculture. Following the principles of the Integrated Pest Management, agricultural officials use male attractant techniques as the mainstay of the eradication effort for the this invasive species. This approach has successfully eliminated dozens of fruit fly infestations in California. Trained workers squirt a small patch of fruit fly attractant mixed with a very small dose of spinosad, which is a natural pesticide made by soil bacterium and is approved for use on organic crops approximately 8 to 10 feet off the ground on street trees and similar surfaces. Male fruit flies are then attracted to the mixture and perish after consuming it. The male attractant treatment program is being carried out over an area that extends 1.5 miles from each site where the oriental fruit flies were trapped. While fruit flies and other invasive species that threaten California's crops and natural environment are sometimes detected in agricultural areas, the vast majority are found in urban and suburban communities. The most common pathway for these pests to enter the state is by hitchhiking in fruits and vegetables brought back illegally by travelers as they return from infested regions of the world or from packages of homegrown produce sent to California. For more information, log on to don'tpackapest.com.
We're waking up to a new dawn in agriculture, a better way, where farmers stop working the soil and start working with it. At Huma, our carbon-rich, humate-based products improve soil health and fertility, deliver nutrients more efficiently, and reduce crop input costs. Welcome to Humic Solutions with a human touch. Visit huma.us to learn more.
We're back with part two of the walnut regulatory update, continuing from last week with California Walnut Commission's Josh Rom. The California Department of Pesticide Regulations are making changes and updates to certifications and requirements for pesticide applicators. Rom has the scoop.
In short, these regulations align California's regulations with the revised federal rules and regulations and also supposedly improve the competency standards for certified applicators using California restricted materials, which do include federally restricted use pesticides. This is also supposed to improve the certification standards for certified applicators. It creates additional certification categories for certified applicators, increases protection for non-certified applicators using restricted materials under the direct supervision of a certified applicator through enhanced pesticide safety training and standards for supervision of non-certified applicators. It also establishes a minimum age requirement for certified and non-certified applicators using restricted materials under the direct supervision of a certified applicator, and improves, as was indicated earlier, standards for CE or continuing education courses. Most importantly, for tree nut processors and even haulers, it now requires a new certification category, which is known as Category M. And while the testing has been recently made available, the study guides for Category M certification have not been promptly made available. Good news, however, out of all of these changes, the non-soil fumigation study guide is finally now available and can be purchased from the UCANR website. That's UCANR website, anrcatalog.ucanr.edu. These new requirements take effect on January 1st of 2024. So certainly please would encourage anyone to go out and get that study guide through the website and have that in place and be trained up and ready before this January 1st requirement comes into place.
Quality is also a big topic of conversation in the walnut space this year, especially since quality is expected to be up compared to previous years. California Walnut Board has released guidelines encouraging growers to improve nut quality in various ways.
This really aligns with strategic objective number one in our newly released strategic plan and voluntary standards, with the inclusion of new quality and condition standards have been approved to achieve more consistent quality in the marketplace. And for the first time, it's really a big undertaking that's come into fruition for the first time. There's a focus on addressing four significant contributors to improve both shelf life and reduction in rancidity. The first is color. Handlers are experimenting with new automated visual grading machines to deliver more standardized color measurements and reporting. Combo categories have been established with premium and standard specifications. The premium combo is defined as a minimum 60% light, no more than 5% amber, of which none is more than 2% black. The standard combo has been defined as a minimum 40% light, no more than 5% amber, of which none is more than 2% black. We've also put in recommendations on chemical quality standards, and the maximum chemical quality standards have been established for peroxide value at 2.5 MEQ per kg and free fatty acid at 1.25%. Two other really important items are related to transportation and shipping. Number one being all walnut shipments must be refrigerated during transport between June and September. And secondly, for storage, all walnuts must be refrigerated in storage after May 1st. So a lot, as mentioned, to get moving and undertaking, but we certainly will continue to work towards increasing value for the marketplace and walnut growers across the state for both the short and long term.
You're listening to My Ag Life. I'm Taylor Chalstrom.
Sponsored by the California Walnut Board and Commission, supporting the industry with on-farm innovation through production research, advocacy for government programs, and driving consumer demand. Doing more together.
New artificial intelligence-driven technology is optimizing the supply chain for fresh and perishable products to deliver benefits to Australian growers and wholesalers. A new digital platform developed by South Australian startup Optimi promises to reduce waste by up to 25%, maximizing revenue and reducing the impact on the environment. The wholesale trading and supply chain optimization platform from Optimi uses AI to help growers and wholesalers manage inventory and reduce losses through demand prediction and automated matching of supply. Omni Order means that users can track orders, inventory, and market trends based on supply and demand, weather patterns, socioeconomic data, and public information. Optimi co-founder and product marketing manager Sabrina Zenilova said it fills a gap in the market. She said she knew some of the largest companies in retail and wholesale food distribution were investing in AI to optimize their supply chains. She said, however, upstream the fresh produce supply chain, none of that was being done. The digital platform combines app-based trading with face-to-face trading using one system to manage both, and it provides for inventory traceability and is unique, cost-saving, and autonomous. The Environmental Protection Agency removed the significant nexus jurisdiction test from the waters of the U.S. rule recently, but the Biden administration's action drew unanimous opposition from agriculture. Significant nexus has been a focal point of agriculture's angst, with nearly every WOTUS rule finalized during the past decade except the Trump Navigable Waters Protection Rule. So what exactly is agriculture looking for in a WOTUS rule? The term that has come up most often is clarity. The Trump water rule had broad support from agriculture and other groups because it was said to have provided clarity to farmers on questions of jurisdiction. Like the Trump rule, however, the revised Biden WOTUS now excludes significant nexus. Tiffany E. Dow-Lashmit, agricultural law specialist in the Department of Agriculture Economics at Texas A&M, says the revised Biden rule arguably is less restrictive than the Trump rule. Generally speaking, the rules have some similarity in that they both adopt the relatively permanent body of water standard given by Justice Antonin Scalia in the Rapanos 2006 opinion, she said. There are differences between the rules, however. For example, Lashmit said the Trump rule did not include interstate waters as a jurisdictional category. The amended Biden rule does. The Trump rule had a more broad definition of covered wetlands, including more than the amended Biden rule does, she said. The Trump rule did include a definition of tributary, and the amended Biden rule does not. So she says her summary would be that while there are some similarities, there are distinctions as well, and she is not sure whether one could claim one over the other to provide more clarity. Growth Energy, the nation's largest biofuels trade association, filed briefs to intervene in three cases recently to support the Environmental Protection Agency. More specifically, Growth Energy supports the agency's decision to deny small refinery exemptions for refiners who are seeking to avoid complying with their blending obligations under the renewable fuel standard. Emily Score, CEO of Growth Energy, says petitioners have tried over and over again to avoid complying with the RFS because less biofuel in America's fuel supply means more money in their pockets. Thankfully, EPA has continued to rightly deny the exemptions, having demonstrated again and again that refiners have no good reason not to meet their blending obligations, she says. In the findings, Growth Energy continues to seek to defend the RFS, which is the nation's most successful climate policy to date, from any attempts to weaken it. The filings in each case are available at growthenergy.org. One expert says the farm economy remains strong, even with lower net income this year. USA Ag News reporter Gary Crawford.
Net incomes for farmers this year could fall below last year by quite a lot, by well over 20%, but
we're still looking at a strong farm sector.
USDA Deputy Chief Economist Cindy Nickerson, she says, first, of course, last year was a huge record-breaking year. It would be hard to top that anyway, but there are other measures of the solvency and health of the farm economy, and in fact,
farm sector solvency is forecast to improve, and that's despite forecast increases in debt.
And she says if you look at debt compared to the value of farm assets or to farm equity,
both debt-to-asset and debt-to-equity ratios are continuing to fall, and what that means is they're improving.
Asset values are growing faster than debt, and as far as the farm bankruptcy rate, it's projected down.
Less than one farm bankruptcy per 10,000 farms.
So despite lower overall farm income this year, Cindy Nickerson says,
it's not all doom and gloom.
Not at all. Gary Crawford reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture.
Rice prices are climbing around the world as supplies get tighter. Key exporting countries like Thailand and Vietnam have seen rice prices climb as much as 30% since India banned shipments of key rice varieties in July. India is the world's largest shipper of the grain, and the export ban is squeezing global supplies. Reuters News says traders expect similar export cuts by other countries that need to ensure their domestic food security. That's leaving importers scrambling to acquire other shipments of rice. India banned exports of broken rice last year and imposed a duty on shipments of various grades of rice. That ended price stability that ran for over 10 years. India did allow traders to ship out non-basmati rice cargoes that were stuck in ports when India imposed its export ban. India's farmers have planted 89.2 million acres of rice, 4.3% higher than last year.
Agroplante is the leading manufacturer in specialty products. Agroplante formulates products that rise to the challenge of today's growing conditions. Saline and sodic soils reduce crop yield and cause significant crop losses. Agroplante developed Cation EX5 Plus with growers in mind to manage soil salinity. With multiple years of research, Cation EX5 Plus has proven to be an excellent source of calcium and an effective soil salinity manager. Run it through drip irrigation without any issues. Simplify your application method with innovative and efficient formulations. Alleviate salinity stress with Cation EX5 Plus. Agroplante, imagination, innovation, science in action.
JCS Marketing is your number one way to connect with the ag industry. Through print magazines, digital media, podcast, and live and virtual events, JCS Marketing has the reach to inform, educate, and influence growers in the Western United States.
Everywhere you go, you see West Coast Nut Magazine on every one of my customers' tables. So that tells you everything. It's there, so they're reading it.
Our My Ag Life platform includes podcast interviews and digital articles for busy professionals on the go. Our live events, continuing education webinars, and virtual conferences help growers connect with leading researchers and industry leaders. Let JCS Marketing help you connect.
That will wrap up today's show. You've been listening to the My Ag Life Daily News Report. I'm Lori Boyer. From all of us here at the JCS Marketing team, thank you for listening.